generally speaking, New York City only sends its garbage upstate. Here in upstate New York, we get their worst criminals. We get their horribly corrupt, incompetent gangster politicians. We get their stupid rules and laws and regulations. And in return, we send them wonderful food and beautiful, clean drinking water. Every time New York City or anyone from New York City talks about how great their water is, it makes me want to go pee in a lake. Because all that water is stolen from upstate New York. They realized a long time ago they needed clean water, so they came up here and created reservoirs and tapped into lakes and ran pipelines down to New York City before anybody lived there. Or when people didn't realize how valuable that would be someday. Anyway, enough crying about the cesspool. Every once in a while, they send us something great. By accident, of course. So when I was a kid, we used to go watch basketball games in Albany at the Armory. There was a CBA team. That's the, I think it was the Continental Basketball Association. And the team was called the Albany Patroons. Phil Jackson was the coach, coincidentally, and this isn't the point of the story, but I thought it was hysterical later on when I heard that Phil Jackson was the Zen Buddhist master of the Chicago Bulls, because the last time I saw Phil Jackson prior to him becoming the Zen Buddhist master of the Chicago Bulls, he was being ejected from his fourth or fifth consecutive game for screaming obscenities in a small arena and throwing chairs at the officials. So I thought it was funny when they were like, oh yeah, he's a Buddhist and he's super calm and that's why he's so successful. Really? Phil Jackson in the 80s with the Patroons made Bobby Knight seem calm and thoughtful. Just to put it in perspective. But Mike Tyson used to go to these games. And he was famous up in upstate New York before he was heavyweight champion of the world, but he even went to the games after he was heavyweight champion of the world. I don't really know why. The Albany Armory probably sat for a basketball game, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 people would be my guess. And Tyson would come in with a bunch of people and they would sit in the front row on the side opposite the players' bench. He waved to everybody. And then he would even still, like I said, after he was champion, he'd still come. God, I thought it was so fascinating. I mean, we were sitting maybe 40 yards from him as a kid. And they would show the fights on ESPN. You'd hear about these 90-second fights, all these first-round knockouts. It was unbelievable. When Tyson got pulled over and ripped the door off his Porsche, that was about 2 miles from my house. So that was I think I was in fifth grade maybe, fourth or fifth grade, sixth grade, and that was a big deal at school. We all tried to figure out how strong you have to be to rip the door off of a car. I think the answer is pretty darn strong and angry. So I kind of grew up with that, you know, and when Tyson fell and his life came off the rails after Cusumano died and he went with Don King and he got, you know, everything kind of fell apart and he lost and you know, whatever happened in that hotel room in Las Vegas and ended with him being convicted of rape, going to prison. It was weird because I kind of idolized him a little bit. As a kid, you know, he was a pretty local guy, and he was so successful, and it's kind of like he was like our guy. And he was from New York City, but he came upstate because he got sent to a reformatory. As I know the story, I could have this wrong. I think I've actually heard it told three or four different ways, but, and there was a former boxer in the reformatory who, somehow ended up talking to Tyson and, referred the kid over to Customato. Now, Customato was a boxing manager and trainer who wasn't really very successful. And by the time he met Tyson, he essentially left New York City, which was the hub of the boxing universe, and moved way upstate to Catskill and opened a small gym there. Wasn't really doing anything. And Tyson kind of got handed to him. And then, you know, they became a big deal. Part of the problem with Cus was he believed in this, they call it the peekaboo style, where fighters, you watch Tyson fight, you'll see it, gloves real close to the face, elbows in tight, and you're a guy like Tyson that can move like that, I don't know, any style would have worked fine, but it just was out of fashion, that wasn't the new way. And part of the problem was that Cus caused all kinds of issues with other boxing promoters, and whatever. That's not the point of the story. So the other boxer that got sent upstate from the city as a criminal, as a young man, was Floyd Patterson. Now, the strange irony of Floyd Patterson is he got sent upstate outside of New Paltz, New York. After he got out of juvenile detention, he stayed in New Paltz, New York, and I'm not really sure the circumstances, but he went to New Paltz High School for, I think, 2 years, and he was an outstanding athlete. He went on to go back to New York City, where Customato still was in the 50s. Trained with Customato, won a gold medal at the Olympics, and then eventually became heavyweight champion of the world. And then through his first title reign, I believe it was through his... I think there was an entire title reign he was with Cus, and then he lost to Sonny Liston twice, got knocked out, and he changed trainers. And Cus is a fascinating guy, man. He fought Muhammad Ali in 65. Fought Muhammad Ali again in 72. He didn't win either fight, but that was his last fight in 72. And then he retired back to New Paltz, where he'd been as a teenager. I didn't put that whole story together for a long time. I thought Cus had always been upstate, and that's why they were there. That's why Floyd Patterson was there. But actually, it's totally unrelated to his time with Customato. They just both ended up back in the same place. So, we're very close together. When I was a little kid, we lived further down outside of Newburgh, New York, in a small town called Walden. That's not where the pond is, by the way. For you literary buffs out there. My grandmother worked in the newspaper office in Walden, and tourists would come there, and they would get out of the car, and they would go to the newspaper office, and they would ask her where the pond was. And she was kind of a tough broad. She would tell them, in Massachusetts. That was the end of that. So, but my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and one of the things she liked to do to distract us, not me, I was a baby, excuse me, but my brother and our foster brother, to distract them, she would bring them on the porch and tell them that they were going to wait for Floyd Patterson to drive by in his Cadillac. He apparently would drive through town in a gold-colored Cadillac convertible, and they would both be excited to go out there and sit and watch it go by. My mother's got an organic connection to boxing. Her father was a boxer. He was actually a gold gloves champion in New Jersey. And interestingly, fought out of the same gym that William Braddock fought out of. Well, I think it was in North Bergen, but I could be wrong. Might be in Hackensack. Regardless. So my grandfather knew Braddock, but they were much different in age and different levels of their careers and all that stuff. So anyway, So I knew about Floyd Patterson. I knew about him being in the area. I saw Tyson as a kid growing up. And then I went to college in New Paltz at the State University of New York at New Paltz, which is a strange place. It used to be a teacher's college for women. And officially, I believe it's designated as a university. But it's a very small university, about 6,000 students. And a lot of those are commuters, like evening adults, students. And it's mostly girls, like 6-to-1 girls to guys. And it's this weird place where the 60s never left. There's a lot of tie-dye and hacky sack going on. To this day, 2018, it's never stopped. New Paltz. And, but that's where Floyd lived. And so I went to college there, and I was in the shop, right? And I saw this guy. He was wearing a, I don't know what they call those sweaters. You know those sweaters that have buttons in the front? It's like a real low V and there's buttons in the front. And he's kind of shuffling along, pushing his cart, a little hunched over. God, that guy looks familiar. Can't think of where I know that guy from. He looks so familiar. And they let it go. And about an hour after I left the grocery store, I realized, oh, that's Floyd Patterson at the grocery store. So a couple months later, I'm back at the grocery store. I never forget. I was in the frozen food aisle, and I round the corner, and a few feet in front of me, 10 feet in front of me, shuffling the other direction, pushing his cart, is Floyd Patterson. He's wearing the same sweater. He's got his hair. If you ever seen a picture of him as a young man, he had this kind of unique haircut where his hair was longer in the front than in the back. Real short, but longer in the front and the back, and it kind of stuck out over his forehead a little bit. Kind of like a 50s Elvis pompadour mixed with a tiny afro. I don't know how to describe it, but it was almost unique. I don't think I've ever seen it before or since anybody else. And even as an old man, he had that same hairstyle. It was a little thinner, a little gray mixed in, but he had that same hairstyle. And I wanted to talk to him so bad, and I just kind of froze. And then I didn't want him to get away, so I said, "Hey, champ." And this kind of like shuffling along, hunched over guy, real slowly, went from being an old man pushing a cart in a grocery store to being the heavyweight champion of the world. He just slowly straightened all the way up. His knees were kind of bent as he shuffled, straightened up. His feet got a little farther apart. And his back, that was ever so slightly curved, just straightened right up. And you could see he still had those broad shoulders. And he slowly turned around and he said, "How you doing?" And I said, good. And he said, "All right, have a good day." And I said, "Thanks, champ." And he kind of nodded at me a little bit and turned around. And he walked down to the end of that aisle with a spring in his step, with his shoulders thrown back. Nothing like the old man that I saw at first. And I thought, how cool to have been that close to a guy that for a long time was the greatest at anything. I mean, you know, anything. But for me, boxing, I've always been a fan of boxing. I always watch boxing. To be that close to Floyd Patterson and to exchange with him, even if it's a nervous 20-year-old stuttering to himself or 19-year-old stuttering himself in the sky. And then later I realized, since he walked to the end of the aisle like that, that maybe it helped him to be recognized once in a while. People know who he was. Young people know who he is. All this came to mind because 2 days ago when I was out doing my job, I saw a gym outside of New Paltz, a place called Highland, called Floyd Patterson's Boxing Gym. And Floyd passed away in 2006, I think, 2008 maybe. And so I don't know if that's really his gym. They just named it after him. But it looked like an old, old building. The sign was like a banner, but underneath it, a real old sign that's a gym with an arrow pointed on the back. Maybe he trained some young guys in boxing. I don't know. But seeing that sign just kind of brought back that day. And it meant a lot to me as a kid. I think I get why people are into the sports teams that do well in their towns. You know, Cleveland gets happy when their team wins the title or whatever. There's something about being from a place, I don't know, that produces greatness. Feels good. It's like their victory is your victory. I wasn't born when Floyd Patterson was a boxer. My oldest brother wasn't born the last time he fought. And he wasn't really even from there. He was from North Carolina. But he's, you know, like it was like Tyson. He was our guy, you know? And Floyd never had a fall from grace. And a lot of people don't know about him. He's not the most famous heavyweight of all time. But he was good. He was just a gentleman, I guess. You know, it's hard to be famous in boxing, I think, if you're not a loudmouth. Unless you're an enormous physical specimen or just dominate people for so long. But he wasn't none of that. He was none of that. He won the gold medal in the Olympics as a middleweight. And he moved up to heavyweight. For whatever reason, decided to move up to heavyweight. But he was never a big heavyweight. Wasn't that big of a guy, but a real gentleman. A good ambassador for boxing, but maybe so quiet that you don't know about him. There's a lot of boxers like that that were real good that you don't know about because they don't have a lot to say. Maybe one day I'll do a... I'll just tell the story now. Nah, that'll ruin today's thing. So that's it. Tyson moved on to other things. Floyd Patterson passed away. I wish I had a lot of money because New Paltz High School, where he was a student and an athlete, named their field after him, their football field. And the bleachers are old and worn out and beat up. And the sign that says Floyd Patterson Field is just paint peeling off of it. And I feel like he's the kind of guy people could forget about. You know? People forget why they named the field after him or who he was. You know, he's been gone 10 years now or maybe a little bit more. If I had some money, man, I would do that over for him. Put a bigger sign that's more permanent. Paint's not going to peel off of it. Get some new bleachers for those kids. Parents to watch the games. Something. But yeah, so that's it. There's some dignity in having heroes, you know? And there's some dignity in being a hero and to living up to it. And I guess those two guys are like the best examples of both. Tyson did not live up to being the hero of children. And not that he necessarily is obligated to. I'm not saying that Mike Tyson owed me as his young fan anything. But he became a difficult person to root for and a difficult person to say you ever rooted for. I feel like people have gotten past it now and he's kind of a different figure in the public eye today than he was. But when I was a young adult, you couldn't go around saying you were a big Mike Tyson fan. You know, he was in prison for rape. It's kind of hard to... But it wasn't just that. He'd done a bunch of stupid things after cussed out. He got pulled over going 130 miles an hour or whatever, ripped the door off his car because he was mad they pulled him over. He wrapped the car around a tree. He had that crazy sham marriage with Robin Givens. He just was a mess. Where Floyd wasn't, you know, Floyd was just a quiet guy. Like I said, a gentleman. It was nice to see that gym, and I'm proud that it's there. I'm proud that he chose upstate New York for his home. And I don't want anybody to forget him. Go on YouTube and watch some of Floyd Patterson's fights. It's definitely worth your time. And you'll see that peekaboo style of boxing. It's just something very different. You know, the biggest complaint from him is hard to throw effective attacks from that position with your hands up so high, but... You know, you watch Tyson and Floyd Patterson, they certainly figured it out. So with the right guy, the style works. You know, not every style is for everybody. You know, James Toney's not going to do that. He's got that Philly shell style with the one hand way low and throws a jab from down there. It's very different. You know, he's fast enough to do that. Tyson probably could have done that too. He was so athletic. But his arms were too short. So maybe that was better what he did. But anyway, that's enough talk about that. Listen, I hope you all have a great day. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Today's lesson is that boxing's awesome, and upstate New York is the greatest place in the world. But if you all move here, it won't be that great. So take it easy. Oh, today's gas station snack is the original combos, the cheddar cheese cracker version. I don't know what the heck is in that thing. What is that stuff? It's supposed to taste like cheese, but it is not cheese. I guarantee you that's not cheese. You know how you can tell you shouldn't eat something? If you take it out of the package and leave it sitting out for a year, and nothing about it changes in that time. No mold grows on it, the taste doesn't change, it doesn't harden. It's probably not something you should eat. Which makes combos something you shouldn't eat, but they do taste good, don't they? God bless you, combos. For a little while, I was into they got a new one, Buffalo Blue Cheese. But it's so completely unnatural, it's hard to enjoy it. They're actually pretty good, but for a couple. Two or three is pretty good. But yeah, it's so unbelievably unnatural that it's hard to enjoy them. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you tomorrow.